Episode what?
I don't know. I don't know. But I will effort that as we speak. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Zebra Stripes Podcast. I'm Coach Gene Clemens, joined as always by Coach Whit LeJure of Bridgeton Academy. Coach Whit, how are you doing?
Doing pretty well, thank you. Worked up an appetite today, so I'm finishing off some underrated honey roasted Planters peanuts. Planters peanuts, just a new sponsor to the show. Honey roasted, though. Planters peanuts, dry roasted.
Dry roasted, not honey roasted. Honey roasted or dry roasted?
Well, they're dry roasted, honey roasted.
Dry roasted, yeah. Honey roasted. Okay, I'm gonna rock with you. This is episode 12 as you joined us and we were trying to figure out which one this was, and Whit said 12 and he was right. Episode 12. We are here and I know we always say we're going to give you a fast and furious one, but we're definitely going to give you a fast and furious one today, because I am going, full disclosure, we are recording this on Monday before the start of the game 2 slate. And so I am actually going to go and watch a movie. I have an early screening to go and watch the movie Challengers, and I'm really excited about it. Zendaya. And it's a sports movie, which I always get excited about anytime there's a sports movie, but I think she's my favorite young actress right now, and I'm really looking forward to seeing her kind of step into her own and possibly join the ranks of some of the really, really talented young actresses we have in the game right now. So I'm going to miss that, but I will be in pocket for the Lakers tonight, and we'll talk about all of that here pretty soon. But first, the NFL draft is on Thursday. Your team is on the clock with the number 3 pick, Whit. What do you see them doing? What would you like to see them do? What have you been hearing around? What's the temperature up in New England on this 3rd pick?
Well, I think the temperature is playing both sides against the middle. So whether that's the team itself, the media, the fans, I think there's some with an appetite to trade the pick and get a bag for it, but I'm not really sure. I've heard about some of the bags, but I'm not sure what that bag would have to look like for me to make it worth it. It's obviously not as exciting as taking a quarterback. There's others that are, absolutely sold on getting a quarterback, but that's where the rub is, because I think the guy New England would prefer is Jaden Daniels, and that's exactly the guy they won't get a shot at, I assume. So then it's going to be taking Drake May, and obviously he's getting his own. I'd be curious your take there, but I think so that Drake Jaden Daniels I would take in a heartbeat. Drake May, I might see what kind of bag I could get, although I still wouldn't feel great going into the season with Jacoby Brissett.
So the question becomes for me, and again, I don't want to stay on this too long, because right, I really want us to dive into all 8 of these NBA playoff games. Is the temperature around New England that they want Jaden Daniels, or is the temperature around New England that they want Drake May?
I may hang in different circles than some in New England. I think the sport, I'll tell you what, I think there's more pro Jaden Daniels people from a football perspective than there are Drake May. So please, that's what I believe.
So I wouldn't necessarily disagree with you. I think that it would be interesting it would be interesting if I was to go inside of the New England Patriots like brain trust and go, how many of you like the idea of Jaden Daniels, the quarterback, but like the idea of Drake May, the entity in New England? And I think that if you went from a purely football perspective, you might get one answer, and a purely dollars and cents perspective, you might get another answer.
Well, let me run that back at you though. How about if that was Caleb Williams versus Drake May? Are you going to have the same dichotomy there? I mean, because obviously what we're talking about is color of skin.
Yeah. And no, you wouldn't. And that's because the perceived, and I say perceived because I'm not 100% sold on Caleb Williams.
Right.
The perceived talent level of Caleb Williams is far beyond what they believe the perceived talent level of Drake May and Jaden Daniels are. I think when you look at Jaden Daniels and Drake May, they get the job done in the perception is that they get the job done in two different ways. I actually think they're both on the same side of the card. They are on the same side of the coin. They both actually have a very similar game. One's just better at it, right? And that's why he's the Heisman Trophy winner. But one clearly has an upside or a potential that people believe is beyond what the other has. And so I think that becomes the rub between those two. But when you insert Caleb Williams in it, it becomes a, okay, well, this is the unquestioned best talent there is in the draft. And so that trumps everything else. But interesting, take back. I think I really do believe that the bag is the way to go. And I believe that for a lot of these teams up in the top, not named Chicago. But I also didn't think Chicago should have traded away their quarterback. And now they could have really, really done something special with these two picks that they had up here. But I digress because the NBA playoffs have started. I said earlier on my show today, 4 to 6 p.m., by the way, on Riptide Media Networks, Talk Spicy, 4 to 6 p.m. Monday through Friday. Make sure that you check that out wherever you see all of my social media stuff out there. And definitely go and download that 102.9 The Game app to listen to that Monday through Friday, 4 to 6 p.m., shameless plug. I said that NBA playoffs, and we've talked about this before, NBA playoffs time is my favorite time because you just get hit with high leverage game after high leverage game every single day. It's very similar to why a lot of people love the NCAA tournament first weekend, because you're just getting games upon games upon games. And I don't think that the game one's disappointed at all. I thought the game ones did exactly what I was hoping it did.
It didn't disappoint you. Didn't disappoint you, but I mean, a lot of blowouts. Probably disappointed fans that wanted more exciting games, or the networks that might have hoped for more competitive games.
Which one? I'm curious. Which ones do you look at? Which game ones do you look at and go, well, that wasn't competitive?
All right. Well, let's start with the hometown Celtics.
Okay.
That was not competitive.
Okay.
Let's go over to the Clippers. That was not competitive. Mavericks. We're going to talk about all these games.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I'm just wondering.
Yeah, the Bucks, not competitive. I think I can keep
not
going.
But not competitive or not compelling?
I think compelling for sure. Just not, you know, because these are great series. I think they're compelling series. I don't think a lot of the games were competitive. And that's just, hey, the home teams won out. The home teams won 8-0. And there were a couple of surprises, I'm sure, again, that we'll talk about. And I had made picks before because we didn't get on, but I had made picks before the series started. But I also like the idea of, now that you've seen one game, okay, have you changed? That would be one of my questions for you. you know, has your view changed on some of these games now that you've had a chance to see game one?
All right, well then let's get into it. Let's get it popping. Orlando Magic, Cleveland Cavaliers. I'm going to tell you, I think that this series is one that features a lot of really promising talent. I think this series has a Donovan Mitchell in it, and yet I couldn't be less interested in this series. Like, it's just not hitting my – it's not touching the love language for me. I watch it, and I'm just like, okay, cool. But there's – like because I think it's because I don't see either one of these teams getting past this round, I don't look at this series as a series of interest. What about you?
Couldn't agree more. I like aspects of both teams. Competitive Cleveland team that's kind of getting a lot done, and Donovan Mitchell obviously is a heck of a good player, and you know, gives them a fighter's chance. Orlando with Pancho, my Banchero. Banchero, thank you again. Go back to last year. Had the same problem temporarily. That's on me. Doesn't do it. I mean, again, I think the team has something going for it in the future, but not anytime soon. So no, the series doesn't do much for me.
Yeah, and that's a shame too, right? Like, because I'm sure the people in Orlando and Cleveland are very interested, and that's great, but if we're being honest, yeah. It's not gonna hit for me. I am super interested in Knicks 76ers. In fact, while I'm at the movies, I will have the Knicks 76ers game pulled up on my phone watching it as I'm trying to watch a movie, because I'm that guy. Like, if there was a he's that guy. I am interested in this, and I want to know what you believe. I, just for the record, before game one, I went with the Knicks. And I went with the Knicks simply because I don't trust Joel Embiid. I don't trust Joel Embiid to stay healthy. I don't trust Joel Embiid to elevate his game to a level that we don't always see. My problem with Joel Embiid is he is what we think he is, and he's been that. He's a 20-something point a game, 10, 11 rebound kind of guy. How he gets it, who knows? But there's no, okay, it's the playoffs. Let me see what he does, you know, beyond what he just shows us all the time. And I think that was the problem last year versus Boston, that he just kind of did what you would expect him to do, but didn't go beyond that, didn't take it to another level. And I think that'll be the problem again this year versus the Knicks. And I actually think I was trying to be fair about it when I said, well, you know, he just gets hurt and he can't seem to fight through it. I just think it's harder for big men to fight through injuries. Gravity is a mofo, right? Like, gravity's tough. And so, like, when you see the Jalen Brunsons be able to fight through, I mean, Jalen Brunson's out there getting murdered. I mean, just getting murdered. He just keeps bouncing back. Why? He's a small, compact dude. And then I obviously like being right on Jalen Brunson, because I, as you know, I've been on the Jalen Brunson train for a long time now. And I want to see him do well, because I still believe in the idea that you can develop in college and come into the league and be a star. And all of the shade and the hate that the Knicks got when they signed Jalen Brunson, I like the fact that they're doing something about it.
Yeah, so I mean, I the only thing I'd tell you is I think ironically enough, Embiid was about to show you he was going to do something different when he tried to throw it off the board, or he did throw it off the board to himself and yoked the damn thing. I hadn't seen that since. Shout out to Alexander Johnson in 2002 at Bridgeton Academy. I mean, I'd probably seen it since then, but Alexander Johnson famously did it in a game, which if any of his teammates are listening to the pod, they all remember it well. It was against New Hampton too, against a rival, exclamation point of dramatic kind. But anyway, I think he, you know, obviously Embiid felt good enough to even attempt that play, which you could argue was not the brightest thing he could have done, but I think that's what you do when you feel good. So I, you know, so he was maybe on the verge. That being said, Maxey is obviously, I think, you know, how he goes will determine, because Embiid, I agree with you, is going to do what he does. So then it really hinges on Maxey largely. I mean, maybe the role guys do something. I like the Knicks too, but I think it's a you know, 6-game series anyway, and pretty close games throughout. And then, I mean, let's face it, New York and Philly fans, like, you know, has the best drama maybe going of all the
fantastic yeah. drama between those two. Yeah. Lakers, Denver. I'd be lying if I told you I don't have the Lakers. I didn't have the Lakers in this series because you knew I'd be picking with my heart. But I also saw a legitimate way to a series victory. And I thought they were playing the tune the way it needed to be played. And I'm going to tell you, the guards have to be better. The guards just absolutely have to be better. You're not going to beat Denver not scoring or being inefficient on offense and playing no defense. Like, that's not going to happen.
And you're being very nice, but specifically D'Angelo Russell.
Well, not just D'Angelo Russell, and I'll tell you why. D'Angelo Russell just shot poorly. Yep. But D'Angelo Russell, this has been D'Angelo Russell. Like, you know what you have in him. Like, this is what he's it. When he's not shooting well, like, I would argue you got to get him out the game, right? But then if you get him out the game, then how do you get him shooting well? So it's a double-edged sword. My problem is with Austin Reeves. Yo, Austin Reeves, my guy. Did you notice him playing hot potato with the basketball in the second half? It was like he was scared to be offensive. And you can't afford to not be offensive playing 36 minutes, almost 37 minutes in a game. You can't be passive in a game where Anthony Davis gives you 32 damn points, 14 rebounds, 5 assists, and 4 blocks. You got to win that game. Like, when Anthony Davis does that, you got to win the game, or else you just wasted an Anthony Davis performance. We all know we can't necessarily stamp that for him every single game. But if you're Austin Reeves and you get the ball kicked to you and somebody is 2 steps away from you and you're not launching it, then what are you out here for? Because you were getting cooked on defense all night. Like, you can't allow a guy like Jokic to get off and give up 19 points to Michael Porter Jr. and give up 22 to Jamal Murray and give up 12 and 7 damn assists to Aaron Gordon. Like, to me, that's where it's incumbent on the guards to say, hey, Caldwell Pope, you're going to have 6 today. Hey, Jamal Murray, you can get your 10 assists, but you're going to have like 14 today. You can't be out here giving up these types of points to these players, especially when they're not really getting a whole lot off the bench. Like, it was just a recipe to look good in the first quarter and then to just drastically fall off after that, because LeBron James is almost 40 years old and you can't expect him to keep the tempo that he had in the first quarter up for the end. He was just gassed. You can see he was tired. He's an old man. Like, where are these young dudes that we paid this money to at the guards to get these points in the fourth quarter when Anthony Davis is going crazy out here? That's so, where they lost the game at.
The over-under for the series wins for the Lakers, 0.5. You're going over-under. I'm going under.
I'm going over. I don't think they get swept this year. I think they find a way.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't see D'Angelo Russell going 6 for 20.
If they do find a right, but based on your argument, I don't see them getting that performance out of Davis. I think he's going to have a good series, a great series maybe, but I don't think they're going to get that every time. And then LeBron, not sure how that's going to go. So
LeBron can't turn the ball over seven times.
Denver may give him one in L.A. I'll give
you that. He can't turn the ball over seven times.
Denver may give them one. L.A. won't win one.
So you think
Denver, I got the under.
Okay.
I think it's conceivable that Denver throws one of them. I definitely do. But I mean,
I just don't like the throws. I don't like your wording. I'm just gonna be honest with you. I don't like the way you're talking right now. Like they might give them one. They might throw one, as in like they're not gonna like win the game.
I'm just saying that, you know, the Celtics last year, you know, went through right, or maybe it was 2 years ago, that every series went to seven. There was no need for these series to go nearly as long as they did, but they didn't play with the same juice and commitment in every single game. So
I just don't think this Denver team's as good as last year.
Okay.
I don't think they're as deep.
Yeah.
And I think that they're there for the taking if you don't have quarters where you score 12 points.
Yep.
Right. And so that's really where, to me, that's where it comes down to. I want to keep going because then I'll just get pissed off. And I'm really still upset. Suns Timberwolves was not close, but it was compelling. And this is what I was talking about. This is the first one where I said not close, but compelling. Is this a changing of the guard? Is this Anthony Edwards arriving? Is this Anthony Edwards saying, hey, all that KD talk is cute, but I'm him. I'm the new him. We all have heard him say, hey, I want to be Jordan. And boy, did he look Jordan-esque. Boy, did he look good. Like the boy was out there balling. I mean, KD looked good too, but man, KD's just so efficient, right? Like you almost would love to see KD want to shoot the ball 30 times a game, but it's just not his game. It's not what he does, not on a regular basis.
So, I mean, as you know, I mean, Anthony Edwards, obviously, a lot of people saw what the hell he could do and what the Wolves might be able to do in the regular season. But same old thing, you know, reputations are made in the postseason, and both for teams and individuals. That's where you make your mark. That's where legacies are created. So him going out in the playoffs and performing at that level obviously just puts a stamp on his arrival. So I agree with you.
This is a great sign for Minnesota. Carl Anthony Towns, 1-for-2 from three-pointer. That's what you need. Two, I'll give you three. Anything more than that, get your ass in the paint. Like, I'm still trying to figure out how Joel Embiid took 8 three-pointers in that game. I still don't understand that. But this Anthony Edwards coming out party, and then whatever happens for him, I think it's gravy in this season. Because then he gets the Olympics and he will 100% be the guy that everybody's like, no, go crazy, Anthony Edwards, because it's going to be all of these older dudes who are just trying to drink really good wine and get a gold medal. And it's going to be Anthony Davis out there trying to like serve notice. Like Anthony Edwards. I can see a Vince Carter-esque USA Olympics for him.
Hey, do you? I got that as a longer series. I mean, you got the T Wolves winning, I'm assuming.
No, I picked Phoenix.
Oh, okay. I got the T Wolves, but I got it as a long series, and I just there's just something off about the Suns somehow, and I just you know
it 100% looked off on game one.
Yeah,
but. Like, if Carl Anthony Towns is going to play like a 6'10 big who can occasionally step out and hit a shot, then they're going to be tough to beat.
Yeah.
If he plays like he wants to be a three guard, they're really easy to beat. So I think that's going to be the thing. Milwaukee Pacers, and again, you said blowout, but I didn't really see it as a blowout. I just saw it as a comfortable win, but I thought compelling. I thought compelling because everybody's been on the Halliburton train. And Halliburton looked like trash in this game.
And the Pacers looked like trash.
Well, but they looked like trash because Halliburton looked like trash. Like, yeah, they go as Halliburton goes.
Yeah, I'll give you some of that.
Right? Like, Pascal Siakam went for 36. Like, so, like, they're not – clearly somebody was there to play.
Yeah, that person's called Dame.
Yeah, yeah. And that's what's compelling to me, right? Is that we heard all of this stuff about coaching and all this about Giannis and all this about blah 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 blah. And Dame went, what time is it? Only now I have a Patrick Beverley that's willing to just lock up. I have a Chris Middleton that I can kick it to and he can make shots. There's a Bobby Portis who's gonna grind. Brooke Lopez is who he is. Like, but now I can just go Dame. I can go full on Dame and buckets on buckets. I don't have to defer to Giannis. And Milwaukee would be, I'm just saying this, I know no one's gonna agree with me. They should have been playing through Damian Lillard the entire season instead of trying to make him fit into Giannis and what Giannis does. And Giannis should just be playing off of that son, which is Damian Lillard. It'll be a much easier game for him than if he's trying to be the son.
Well, I think that's what people envisioned. I mean, when they two got together, I think they envisioned what you're talking about. But for whatever reason, you know, like you said, then Giannis, it hasn't morphed that way. So I was thinking, you know, again, along the same lines you were, I think, watching the game last night, like they're better. I mean, outrageous statement. They're better. Minus Giannis. I'm going to make that statement. They're better. Now, in a one game, for sure. Now, no coach is going to say, you know, they're better, period. But they're better because, for every reason that you're saying. And interestingly, again, we talk about this all the time. That is the one league that is a players league. I mean, there's no question about that. It is a players league. And then we've had conversations in past pods where, okay, now – you know, the decisions a coach makes late in games and some of the guys are better ATO or, you know, anything specials of some kind or another, that might be a separator, you know, who makes Eric Spoelstra's, you know, known for his creative stuff. But Dame Lillard, yeah. And similar to watching the Celtics from time to time, you know, my when I go like, holy smokes, they go on monster runs minus Tatum. Now, do I want to say they're a better basketball team when Tatum's not, you know, doesn't play? I'm not going to say that. I'm going to say at times they play more functional basketball for stretches when he's not the sun, in your analogy. So I agree with you wholeheartedly. And God dang. I mean, I just thought with the pick and roll, which is what people, you know, they just thought they'd coexist better than they have, and last night proves that they've got to, you know, let Dame orchestrate, man.
Yeah, and I don't even think it's better without him. I think it's just better without him being the focus of the offense. I think he has these other abilities that have been diminished because he's had to focus on being so much of the offensive load. And I would much rather see a 22-15, like 5-4 or 5 type of Giannis than I would a 30-something 11 and two Giannis. Like,
but that might be part of the growth that he's got to go through. Now you're talking about multiple coaches and all of that stuff. You know, Budenholzer out
of his doing,
and Adrian, right? So my point doing. Is, he may not be at that place where, you know, when the superstars sacrifice, you know, when the big three go to Miami, when Garnett comes to Boston and Allen comes to Boston, you know, you get to a point when these guys got to give up their games for the greater good, and I think that absolutely is the situation in Milwaukee.
So, yeah, and I agree. So I
compelling had... series too. So compelling game. I mean, not competitive in my eyes. I mean, just a blowout. But should line up to be a really good series. Because I don't think Indiana's gonna lay an egg quite like that for you know, too many games.
And here's the thing, and I'll leave it because I want to get to these other.
Yeah.
The one thing is, people can't wait till the Milwaukee Bucks lose to talk bad about Doc Rivers.
Right.
Give him the props when the wins happen up until the loss. Like, that's my one issue with the Doc Rivers slander is they have to get to those big high leverage games some kind of way. And if you're saying that we're saying that it's a players league, but still he seems to be along to a conference finals, you know, for the ride a lot. And so like if Milwaukee does make a run and is able to get past the Pacers with no Giannis, give him his props for that.
Well, Doc Rivers is a great coach, and only you know, neophytes would
JJ Redick.
Too many. Yeah, yeah.
He ain't no neophyte coach.
Yeah, it's true.
Yep. That's so true. That's all I'm saying is, and he's not alone, by the way. There's been other NBA players who have voiced their kind of whatever with Doc. Okay, cool. I'm here to hear it, but make sure you also talk about these times where he's gone into playoff situations without his best players at full strength and still managed to get a 7-game series out of it or advance, all that type of stuff. A lot of those Clippers teams were without Chris Paul.
Yeah, and the fact is sometimes, too, on top of coaching and players, there's organizations that are better and worse, too. So there's factors that probably end up influencing performance beyond simply the players or the coach.
Absolutely. Clippers and Mavericks, another game that you looked at as a blowout that I thought was compelling in the fact that the Clippers were struggling coming into this playoff scenario, and the Mavericks were firing on all cylinders. And I still have the same question for you that I've had now for the last few years. What am I to make of Luka Doncic if this is what happens every time you get to a playoff game?
I'm in total agreement with you there. But again, you can't – you're calling the series compelling, which I agree 100%. But I don't – again, just what I said, you can't call that game – the game wasn't compelling, right? It wasn't competitive. It wasn't either one.
No. I'm talking about compelling from the standpoint of one team that was struggling coming in and one team that was riding high and people thought they were on their way to ascent.
They didn't have me on that train. They're going to have to I was not on there. I will believe that one when I see it. I don't believe in the Doncic model. I don't believe in Kyrie in that situation. There's nothing about the way Dallas plays that tells me they're a threat to anybody. You know, can they win a series? Maybe only if the Clippers are broken. But I said this at the we're talking to my team several days ago. I said, you know, the dangerous team in the West that no one's talking about might be the Clippers.
I mean, who has a better collection of playoff talent? than the Clippers.
No.
Like that was the reason I picked them. But going in, I was like, well, at the end of the day, if this is the playoffs, they have a lot of dudes who are used to this playoff thing.
Sure do.
You know, and they have bigs who don't mind just being bigs. Yeah. That, like, they have bigs that don't want to be guards. These teams with bigs that don't want to be guards tend to play better in the playoffs. I don't know why. I don't know why it's a thing. But this is going to be my Wembanyama argument. Like, at some point, it's too early now. Like, people are still in love with the stats. Like, they were in love with the stats with Doncic. But it's going to come soon where I'm going to start asking the question about Wembanyama. Like, these stats are beautiful. Like, 33 points, 13 rebounds, 6 assists. Like, it looks fantastic, right? But what does it mean if it's an L at the end of the day?
Well, here's what I'm going to say. One is I'll take the Clippers in 6. Outside possibility of getting it done in 5, but I'll take the Clippers in 6. And Wemby, just as an aside here, right, non-playoff team, I think Wemby is going to have to find his home just the way my guy KP, Christian Porzingis, has in Boston. So Wemby is going to have to be surrounded by a cast that allows him to take full advantage of his skills, which I think is exactly what you see with Porzingis, by the way, if we want to turn to that series. But someone who's a bit, you know, who if he plays a certain way, is going to always put up numbers and probably not have a ton of success, but surrounded by the right players and taking advantage of cross matches and things like that is a hell of a threat. So I think Wemby can be that. And then some.
All right, so because I haven't heard it, I'm not in New England to listen to this. Has there been apologies to your head coach given out by the masses for the way in which the Celtics have seemingly just rallied and galvanized behind this guy who everyone thought shouldn't be a head coach in the NBA?
Well, I think all things can be true in this case. So I'm just,
widespread apologies to this dude who, after they murdered him for the first half of last season, turned it around, right? Got them to the chip, lost it, and then came back with some tweaks and ran away with the regular season.
Well, I mean, again, I just think he's part of an organization. So, I mean, I think he deserves his props. And Eric Spoelstra said the other day in a Boston paper, you know, the learning curve between year one and year two. So I'll give him that. But so I said all things can be true because I don't think Joe Mazzulla did a particularly good job last year. And I think the evidence was, I think it was self-evident when you just watched the games or watched some of the stuff. But and so I think that it has played out exactly the way you would hope. And, oh, by the way, not only he comes back in with experience, has experienced staff of his own, you know, choosing, and with the organization having more say in who he gets, and then a group of players far more committed to playing the right way. So I think all things can be true in that one. But he probably will get you will see an article of that sort. Should they? It is win the championship or bust, though, in Boston. It is that. And that may not, you know, that's not fair, but that's sport too at the highest level.
Okay. And so they did what they were supposed to do in game one, right? But we're good there. They did what they were supposed to do.
Yeah, that's all. And then back to my earlier point, if this is truly a different team, I mean, and I don't think that, right, the Heat can't put up any fights, so they'll win in 4, and they really should win every game by 20 plus points. And I don't see any way they really don't. But they can't play, or that'll be one of the differences as the thing moves ahead. Does this team take care of business when they need to?
Does it bother you? Does it bother you that a guy like Kristaps Porzingis doesn't average 10 rebounds a game? I don't know why, but it bothers me that he doesn't average double-digit rebounds a game.
Well, I mean, I think it doesn't bother me as long as, you know, because it's a team game. So as long as the team doesn't get crucified in the boards, then, you know, but which they do. So that is a problem. The other, you know, so that's a fair point. And the other thing is, depending on who you're playing and what the spacing on the floor is, right, it's easier from some spots than another to rebound the ball. So I don't get hung up in that about him, but we'll see in the series how much of a, you know, what kind of they're just, he's not, you know, he's not going to be a dominant rebounder maybe just by build, but I think they could be a very good rebounding team by committee, and that's what they got to do.
I have a couple of sides, but I'm going to hold them because I want to get to this last game, even though if I'm being honest about it, this is probably the other West Coast game that I just don't care about, like, because I just don't believe in these teams. And
that's amazing. That's amazing to say, right?
Because Oklahoma City is Oklahoma City is the number one seed, right?
And Zion is on the other team he's facing.
Yeah, but he's hurt. Right? So yep. It's like I put Zion in the same thing of every time I get excited about watching Zion and what he might be able to do, he's hurt.
True.
And so it's like, damn, man, like I feel like that guy at prom who thought it was his time tonight. You know, he got the hotel, he got the car, he got the banaka. You know, he's ready to go, and nothing, right? Like, no. And for as much as Oklahoma City's a great story, like, I'm watching this team play, and I'm like, who, like, are they beating any of these elite-level teams in a seven-game series? Like, when we can sit down and, like, that's going to be, you know, it'll be compelling once they get to the next round.
I agree.
Like, if they take care of the Pelicans, which they should, no problem without Zion, like, that's when Oklahoma City will then be compelling, because they will 100% be playing a team that thinks that they could beat them in five games. Yep. Right? Whoever they play in the next round, they're going to be like, yo, we get the Thunder out here in five. And so it'll be interesting to see if those young boys are ready for that level of pressure. But I'm just not overly interested in this series. Got to get out of here, but I wanted a couple things about USA basketball. Number one, you don't have to like Kyrie Irving to acknowledge that he's probably the best international basketball player that the United States has. Like, a guy who can play that international style of game offensively better than anybody else that we have. Floor spacing, like, ability to... So when I look at the Team USA roster, which is the best roster they've been able to put together in some time, because the last Olympics was that weird Olympics where it was the year after the Olympics were supposed to be, and a lot of COVID stuff still, and then a lot of people didn't participate. Putting like a guy on because you say he's a defensive stopper when you have a bunch of like defensive stoppers on the back end doesn't seem to make a lot of sense to me. Like, it was really weird the way that they left him off, they left Dame off, they left Jalen Brunson off, but they put Halliburton on, and they put Drew Holiday, who I love, they put him on again, and then they put Kawhi Leonard, and he might not even like make it through this series. Like there was three spots that I was just I had question marks by, and I wonder what you thought about it.
I don't know enough about the selection process to think too much. I usually just wait and see what the roster is and then figure it out later. But, you know, I haven't paid enough attention to that to figure it out. I know it strikes me a little bit of the, you know, when Isaiah got frozen out. I know that's not the deal with Kyrie, but.
Might be.
You know.
He said some controversial stuff.
Right.
You know.
Could be.
Would you agree or do you disagree that Kyrie's the best international basketball player we have?
I mean, I disagree, but I'd have to tell you, you know.
Yeah, I mean, who would you say? Like, I'm talking about United States. I'm not talking about the world. I'm talking about U.S. Like, who offers what Kyrie offers in the international game?
Right. It could be my homework assignment I think Jason Tatum might.
He's on the team.
Oh, you're saying that of guys that.
Well, not even, but because Jason Tatum might, but there's no proof of concept, right? We've seen Kyrie Irving on the 2018. I forget what the one before the last one. We saw Kyrie Irving, and he was a monster, right? Like, so we've seen it. We know it. Jason Tatum definitely could be. But it was my argument about why I thought someone should have reached out to Carmelo Anthony. Because Carmelo Anthony was a guy who was tailor-made for the international game. That's why he had so much success on Team USA. His game fits that model that, you know, and I thought that would have been a great like goodwill gesture right there, if anything.
Yeah, the bottom line is the U.S. does have to make sure that they get enough defensive-minded players, because obviously, as everyone knows, the talent gap has shrunk, and the Euros play, and the world typically plays the FIBA game, a more movement-based game. So the wrong collection of individual players not committed to both ends will get you in trouble.
See, and my argument is the only real legitimate, like, thing we have to hang that on is that Allen Iverson, Tim Duncan team and the subsequent, like, rebuild from there where they did something different. But every time we've just said we're going to put our best players out there, it's been pretty like easy to roll through. I don't even think like the team that won it in the last Olympic cycle, I think that was 2020 or 2021 now, because it was a year later. Like, I don't even think that was a really good team, and they still won it.
Right.
So, yeah. I don't know. I just think it's interesting to see a guy as talented as Kyrie Irving, who was a finalist, but they don't. Yeah. And he said that he didn't like the fact he wasn't mad at the selection. He said, "Hey, I just don't fit," apparently. But he said, I missed the time where they would bring us all in, and then we would play against each other, and then they would pick the team. Yep. And I think that if you do that and you release the footage of Kyrie Irving cooking all of these guards, which he would, like, it's going to be hard to say, yo, yeah, we just didn't put him on,
yep.
You know, because he wasn't the best fit.
Yep.
But it's interesting. I definitely think that's interesting. Before we get out of here, anything that you're looking forward to in these next few games seeing from Boston? Obviously you're a Celtics fan. What do you want to see from them? Is it just you want to see them get this team out of here as quick as possible?
Yeah, particularly since it's the Heat too. I don't want to see them give in. You know, one of the things we can talk about is whether or not that was really a message trying to be sent by what's his name, who hit Tatum in the back there late in the game. The kid who hit all the threes last year against him in game seven. But anyway, you know, whatever. Yeah, just come on, make easy work of them, and don't get under the voodoo hex of anything that Pat Riley, Eric Spoelstra, or the Heat have in mind. So
is it going to be satisfying to beat the Heat without Jimmy Butler?
No, not for me at all. That's why another reason why, that can we just please just dispense of the Heat? And if we want to make a big deal of it to try to sell a few newspapers, let's do it. But then let's, like you've said in a couple of these other series, let's get on to where it's going to be a more competitive situation to really find out, you know, about these Celtics.
Can AD elevate himself in the mind if he can produce a series full of these types of performances, these 30 plus point, 13, 14 rebound, you know, five assists, four. If he can produce a series full of this, does it change the thought process in people's minds of Anthony Davis? Regardless of the outcome.
Yes. I mean, I think so. It doesn't change mine because he's phenomenal. And I think healthy, he's phenomenal. But yeah, I'd say that sustained performance in the series does that. So it would be, you know, and if I had to bet, I think he's going to do it.
Yeah, I think that's the challenge that he's given to himself. Right. I think he said, hey, I want to be more accountable for what we do. Coach Witt, thank you for joining us as always. I know you have some young men still looking for homes out there. How's that off season recruiting now that we're dealing with everything we're dealing with the immediate eligibility of transfers, not even necessarily like NIL, but just the advent of the immediately eligible transfer. Right.
I think we're going to lead with that in the next pod 13. We're going
to
start.
In other words, you're saying it's too much for you to talk about right now?
There's a lot on the bone there.
Okay, so then, ladies and gentlemen, make sure that you catch us next week, and we will be back next week. Right, Whit? We'll be back next week?
Yes. 100%.
We'll be back next week to talk more about the NBA, but we'll be starting with, you know, this thought process about how things change for high school and prep school athletes. Yep. With the advent of the immediate transfer eligibility. But until then, thank you for joining us on the Zebra Stripes podcast. I'm Coach Gene Clemens, joined as always by Coach Whit LeJour, Bridgeton Academy. Make sure that you follow us wherever you follow on social media at Whit LeJour, at Gene Clemens. Make sure that you subscribe to the podcast. Catch it on Spotify or wherever you get your DSPs. We'll talk to you all next time. Be blessed.